The Iranian War, Biblical Prophecy, and the Jewish-Christian Alliance. Listen in today as we connect those dots. How does the Iranian War usher in the dawn of Universal Zionism? What is Universal Zionism? What is political Zionism? What is religious Zionism? And what is Universal Zionism? What do Christian Zionists and Jewish Zionists have in common? Listen in as we explore these very important and timely topics together. Welcome to the 1 Year Audio Bible Podcast. Today is March 22nd. Now let's continue our journey reading through the entire Bible in 1 year. This week we are reading from the New Living Translation for the Old Testament and for the New Testament. Exodus 35:1-35. Then Moses called together the whole community of Israel and told them, "These are the instructions the Lord has commanded you to follow. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but the seventh day must be a Sabbath day of complete rest, a holy day dedicated to the Lord. Anyone who works on that day must be put to death. You must not even light a fire in any of your homes on the Sabbath." Then Moses said to the whole community of Israel, "This is what the Lord has commanded. Take a sacred offering for the Lord. Let those with generous hearts present the following gifts to the Lord: gold, silver, and bronze, purple, blue, and scarlet thread, fine linen and goat hair for cloth, tanned ramskins and fine goatskin leather, acacia wood, olive oil for the lamps, spices for the anointing oil and the fragrant incense, onyx stones and other gemstones to be set in the ephod and the priest's chest piece. Come, all of you who are gifted craftsmen, construct everything that the Lord has commanded: the tabernacle and its sacred tent, its covering, clasps, frames, crossbars, posts, and bases, the ark and its carrying poles, the ark's cover, the place of atonement, the inner curtain to shield the ark, the table and its carrying poles and all its utensils, the bread of the presence, for light, the lampstand, its accessories, the lamp cups, and the olive oil for lighting, the incense altar and its carrying poles, the anointing oil and fragrant incense, the curtain for the entrance of the tabernacle, the altar of burnt offering, the bronze grating of the altar and its carrying poles and utensils, the wash basin with its stand, the curtains for the walls of the courtyard, the posts and their bases, the curtain for the entrance to the courtyard, the tent pegs of the tabernacle and courtyard and their ropes, the beautifully stitched garments for the priest to wear while ministering in the holy place, the sacred garments for Aaron the priest, and the garments for his sons to wear as they minister as priests." So the whole community of Israel left Moses and returned to their tents. All whose hearts were stirred and whose spirits were moved came and brought their sacred offerings to the Lord. They brought all the materials needed for the tabernacle, for the performance of its rituals, and for the sacred garments. Both men and women came, all whose hearts were willing. They brought to the Lord their offerings of gold, brooches, earrings, rings from their fingers, and necklaces. They presented gold objects of every kind as a special offering to the Lord. All those who owned the following items willingly brought them: blue, purple, and scarlet thread, fine linen and goat hair for cloth, and tanned ramskins and fine goatskin leather. And all who had silver and bronze objects gave them as a sacred offering to the Lord, and those who had acacia wood brought it for use in the project. All the women who were skilled in sewing and spinning prepared blue, purple, and scarlet thread and fine linen cloth. All the women who were willing used their skills to spin the goat hair into yarn. The leaders brought onyx stones and the special gemstones to be set in the ephod and the priest's chest piece. They also brought spices and olive oil for the light, the anointing oil, and the fragrant incense. So the people of Israel, every man and woman who was eager to help in the work the Lord had given them through Moses, brought their gifts and gave them freely to the Lord. Then Moses told the people of Israel, "The Lord has specifically chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, grandson of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. The Lord has filled Bezalel with the Spirit of God, giving him great wisdom, ability, and expertise in all kinds of crafts. He is a master craftsman, expert in working with gold, silver, and bronze. He is skilled in engraving and mounting gemstones and in carving wood. He is a master at every craft. And the Lord has given both him and Oholiab, son of Ahimasech, of the tribe of Dan, the ability to teach their skills to others. The Lord has given them special skills as engravers, designers, embroiderers in blue, purple, and scarlet thread on fine linen cloth and weavers. They excel as craftsmen and as designers." Luke 5:12-28. In one of the villages, Jesus met a man with an advanced case of leprosy. When the man saw Jesus, he fell to the ground, face down in the dust, begging to be healed. "Lord," he said, "if you want to, you can make me well again." Jesus reached out and touched the man. "I want to," he said, "be healed." And instantly, the leprosy disappeared. Then Jesus instructed him not to tell anyone what had happened. He said, "Go right to the priest and let him examine you. Take along the offering required in the law of Moses for those who have been healed of leprosy, so everyone will have proof of your healing." Yet, despite Jesus' instructions, the report of his power spread even faster, and vast crowds came to hear him preach and to be healed of their diseases. But Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer. One day, while Jesus was teaching, some Pharisees and teachers of religious law were sitting nearby. It seemed that these men showed up from every village in all Galilee and Judea, as well as from Jerusalem. And the Lord's healing power was strongly with Jesus. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a sleeping mat. They tried to push through the crowd into Jesus, but they couldn't reach him. So they went up to the roof, took off some tiles, and lowered the sick man down into the crowd, still on his mat, right in front of Jesus. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." "Who does this man think he is?" the Pharisees and teachers of religious law said to each other. "This is blasphemy. Who but God can forgive sins?" Jesus knew what they were thinking, so he asked them, "Why do you think this is blasphemy? Is it easier to say your sins are forgiven, or get up and walk? I will prove that I, the Son of Man, have the authority on earth to forgive sins." Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, "Stand up, take your mat, and go on home, because you are healed." And immediately, as everyone watched, the man jumped to his feet, picked up his mat, and went home praising God. Everyone was gripped with great wonder and awe. And they praised God, saying over and over again, "We have seen amazing things today." Later, as Jesus left the town, he saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at his tax collection booth. "Come, be my disciple," Jesus said to him. So Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Psalm 65:1-13. What mighty praise, O God, belongs to you in Zion. We will fulfill our vows to you, for you answer our prayers, and to you all people will come. Though our hearts are filled with sins, you forgive them all. What joy for those you choose to bring near, those who live in your holy courts. What joy awaits us inside your holy temple. You faithfully answer our prayers with awesome deeds. O God, our Savior, you are the hope of everyone on earth, even those who sail on distant seas. You formed the mountains by your power and armed yourself with mighty strength. You quieted the raging oceans with their pounding waves and silenced the shouting of the nations. Those who live at the ends of the earth stand in awe of your wonders. From where the sun rises to where it sets, you inspire shouts of joy. You take care of the earth and water it, making it rich and fertile. The rivers of God will not run dry. They provide a bountiful harvest of grain, for you have ordered it so. You drench the plowed ground with rain, melting the clods and leveling the ridges. You soften the earth with showers and bless its abundant crops. You crown the year with a bountiful harvest. Even the hard pathways overflow with abundance. The wilderness becomes a lush pasture, and the hillsides blossom with joy. The meadows are clothed with flocks of sheep, and the valleys are carpeted with grain. They all shout and sing for joy. Proverbs 11:23. The godly can look forward to happiness, while the wicked can expect only wrath. I want to share a very insightful and timely article with you that appeared in Israel 365 News on March 15th. The article is as follows: Iran War, Biblical Prophecy, and the Jewish-Christian Alliance. And it's describing a webinar that would be happening on March the 17th. And I'll put the link to the webinar in the description box below so you can listen to it if you wish. Here's the article written by Rabbi Eli Michel. Tuli Weiss wrote the book, Universal Zionism, before the bombs fell. He argued that October 7th was not an ending but a beginning. That out of the worst atrocity inflicted on the Jewish people since the Holocaust, a Jewish-Christian alliance of historic proportions was being born, one with the power to reshape civilization. That argument was already bold when the manuscript was delivered. Then, on February 28, 2026, the United States and Israel launched Operation Roaring Lion and Operation Enduring Fury. On Tuesday, March 17th, Tuli Weiss will convene an emergency webinar, The Iran War as the Dawn of Universal Zionism, joined by M.K. Ohad Tal of the Knesset Foreign Affairs and Defense Committee and Sagiv Asulin, a former Israeli intelligence officer and leading expert on the Iranian threat. 3 weeks into the most consequential military operation in modern history, the questions believers are asking are not only strategic, they are prophetic. Within days of the February 28th launch, Ali Khamenei was dead. Within weeks, over 6,000 targets had been struck, Iran's naval capacity gutted, its ability to project terror across the Middle East reduced to a fraction of what it was. U.S. President Trump has described operations as running ahead of schedule. Israeli forces report the elimination of key IRGC assets and Hezbollah commanders. And yet Iran has retaliated with missile barrages on Jerusalem, Tel Aviv, and Eilat. An interim leadership council has formed under Ali Larijani. Casualties exceed 2,000. No firm end date is in sight. Universal Zionism opens with exactly this kind of moment in mind. The book traces the arc from Theodor Herzl's political dream through religious Zionism's spiritual awakening to what Rabbi Weiss calls the third stage, a coalition of Jews and Christians united not merely around Israel's survival, but around a vision of what Israel's restoration means for all of humanity. From political Zionism to religious Zionism to universal Zionism, a blueprint, Rabbi Weiss argues, for a coming golden age of faith and cooperation. Whether Operation Roaring Lion is the next chapter in that story is precisely what Tuesday's conversation will address. Isaiah envisioned a day when the nations would stream to the mountain of God's house. Isaiah chapter 2. Zechariah described a future in which men from every language would grab the corner of a Jewish man's garment, saying, "We have heard that God is with you." Zechariah 8:23. The question Rabbi Weiss has spent his career asking, and that his new book now presses with urgency, is whether we are living out those chapters now. The two men joining him on Tuesday bring that question down from theology into hard reality. M.K. Ohad Tal has been one of the most consistent advocates in Israeli politics for a genuine hard line toward Iran, and one of the most active members of the Knesset in building the Jewish-Christian alliance that Universal Zionism describes. As a member of the Foreign Affairs and Defense Committee, he has the classified briefings and strategic deliberations that most commentators lack. But Tal has also spent years appearing before Christian and pro-Israel audiences worldwide, framing the relationship between Jews and Christians not as a diplomatic convenience, but as a shared civilizational battle. Jews and Christians standing together against the same forces of darkness. He has held events with former U.S. Ambassador David Friedman, promoting Israeli sovereignty over Judea and Samaria, engaged in more international public diplomacy than nearly any other MK in 2025, and consistently argued for total victory over Iranian-backed terror when that position still drew criticism. It does not draw much criticism anymore. Sagiv Asulin brings a different kind of access. A former senior officer and operations commander in Israel's security forces, Asulin now works at the Jerusalem Center for Security and Foreign Affairs, where he focuses on Iran, influence operations, and strategic perception. Iran's power has never been only military. It operates through terror proxies, information warfare, religious legitimacy claims, and international sympathy networks, and Asulin has spent his career understanding all of those layers from the inside. Together, the three speakers represent something that the current flood of geopolitical commentary cannot: the military picture, the strategic logic, and the larger meaning held together in a single conversation. Listen into this webinar. The link is posted below in the description box.